Blog Talk Radio. Come get this teaching arranged by the author Sherelle Omiyika Bidiako Garth. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Why, we've taken our music to another place, somewhere out there in the middle of space. Busting out with lines of ebonics, reducing ourselves to a level of demonics, when we can be pushing albums that blunt it. Instead, we choose to front it. Well, we don't take without giving back. We do this in order to circumvent lack. It's a fact. It's the principle of reciprocity in act. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. While we've gone from paying some dues to singing someone else's blues, we can't continue to allow ourselves to be used. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. We went from segregated to integrated to miseducated, now to reeducated. It's time. It's time. We've been dedicated before we soon regret it. Put down the pipes. Lift up your heads. And let's possess the mics. For we're taking this music to a brand new height. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. Just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Once rendered mute, unable to use the words of our own pursuit. We've got a brand new vocabulary at our disposal. While we're not even writing our own proposals. While the stories of the ghetto hood unfold, of the coming one to be foretold. Didn't you know it? That it's our time now to manufacture our own flavor of rhyme. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. Just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Let's take the message to a higher ground, like Stevie Wonder and James Brown. Well, we don't have time for fooling around. Let's take the beat. Let's take the beat where we can all get down, where we can all get down. Knowledge and truth is what the people want to hear in this critical time of living in fear. Let's possess the stage like the coming of the new millennium age. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying, and you know I'm not lying. Now I'll ask you, are you the one, or is there another to come to take this music to a higher level? And if you aren't, then come get this teaching and give it to those who I'm not reaching.
Welcome, Alafia Hotep. Welcome to Care to Read. You have your advisor here, the one you need, and you have your advocate, the one you want, Omiyika 7, here to serve you. Also, to let you know that this is a consumer science and family education resource center. We focus highly on looking at the issues that pertain to families. This program is underwritten by Project 2019. And I'd like to let you know that Project 2019 had envisioned closing the gap for African Americans in the area of education and higher level education. And one of the visions of Chuck Sanford, who is the founder and author of Project 2019, is that we will close the gap of disparity in the area of literacy and in the area of education. Now, Chuck wrote some profane things about what African Americans must do to have success. He also indicated that the only way that Black America can be saved is through Black America saving themselves. Chuck feels that the socioeconomic equality is through engaging in knowledge. And he also feels, and so do I, that the more knowledge we get, the better prepared we are to deal with our community problems. Chuck goes on to say that what is the problem of why don't we have success and what do we need? And I'd like to read you a quote from his book. You can go out and get this book, Project 2019. look up Project2019.org, and the book will be out there for a donation, a seizable donation. You can actually acquire this book. What Blacks Must Do to Succeed in America, what he has written, and I quote, "More so than any other modern nation, America has always been a country where fully financed and franchised, the citizens have had genuine opportunity to achieve success. All that was required was hard work and desire to succeed. The so-called Americans work, surely the American work ethics is ingrained in the Black Americans. For almost four centuries now, millions of Black Americans have gotten up every morning and worked as hard as they could. The problem is that for most of these people during the century, the Black Americans have not had the knowledge or skill to engage in meaningful, profitable work. The end results of Black America being slaves in 1850 and Black Americans working in the fast food restaurants today essentially have not changed a bit. They work long and hard hours and get paid minimum wages. And they only have enough money for food and shelter that will sustain them. The lesson that Black Americans must learn," Chuck says, "is that knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. I repeat, listening audience, knowledge is power. The more we engage in knowledgeable things and broaden our horizon with knowledge, the more that we can save ourselves. And as long as Black Americans remain the least educated and the least knowledgeable people in America, they will remain the people with the least amount of power and success in America. Black Americans must apply their work ethics to obtaining knowledge," he says. "Black Americans must work long and hard to get a quality formal education before they enter into the workforce rather than simply working hard after they enter into the workforce. If they did, they would no longer be relegated to spending their lives working from sunup to sundown and the rest of America watching them succeed. If they did, their hard work would lend itself to owning their own success. Working hard usually results in a measurable amount of success. However, simply working hard is almost never enough. It is a combination," he says, "of working hard and working smart that produces the best opportunity to succeed in America. Therefore, we know that knowledge is power. I want you to throw your fists up in the air and shout out with me and give three harambes so we can engage ourselves in power. Harambe! 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 We know that knowledge is power, and we are engaging ourselves during this segment by educating ourselves from mind, body, soul, and spirit, and ethical understanding of our spirituality and respecting other denominations and allowing us to bring together people with like minds, however with different paths, to find their way to Christianity, to find their way to Islam, to find their way to New Thought. I'm crystallized because I'm solidified in Christ. I am Buddhist because I meditate. Whichever you want to call it, we are going to respect every man's prophet because we all were sent somebody to lead and guide us. And we are going to understand that knowledge is power. And in this particular segment that we are focusing in on is mind, body, and spirit. We have a specialist out in the audience that we're going to engage, and we're going to rely upon her expertise. This evening we'll be talking about visualization and Reiki healing from a master Reiki healer. Her name is Mrs. Pakari. Mrs. Pakari comes to us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where she resides there as a consultant and also as a therapist. And we're going to rely on her skills this evening to help us through so that we can engage our mind as we learn to close the literacy gap. And as you know, this is a show that features literacy in the home, early literacy, as well as family literacy. And our featured book for this evening is the African Holistic Health Book. by Dr. Loyola Africa. This is a revision of the fourth edition, and it's a complete herbal book with remedies and guides to disease and treatment, nutrition, diet, holistic, prescription, African herbal history, and self-diagnosis. Looking at charts of holistic sexuality, laws, and understanding AIDS. This Friday, we are going to feature a specialist talking about treatments for AIDS, educational material for AIDS. We're going to inform our community. We're no longer going to be left without an opportunity to engage ourselves while we look in from the outside. We're going to participate. So I want to give that listening audience my phone number. I would like to see these lights light up as I bring on this specialist to speak. Our phone number here for you to call is 646-478-0270. And I'd like to take some time to say hello to our guests, and then we will ask you to lend us your airwaves for 1 hour. Then we will give your world back to you in approximately 60 minutes. And let me go on and say hello to Mrs. Fakari, and she's in the audience. Hello. Hello, Mrs. Fakari. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. I'm blessed and highly favored. And I'm not going to tell you I'm saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. That used to be my first introduction, because people will ask me, saved from what? And I know every day we walk out our salvation, Sister Fakari. And I'm going to have you come on, give a little information about yourself, and then we're going to go straight to a station identification, if you don't mind, please. Mm-hmm. If you can give the audience your full traditional African slave name, which I wanted you to introduce that name to them, and tell us where you got your knowledge from and your training. Thank you so much.
Okay. I'm Mensa Manira Bakari, better known as Mama Yeye in my community. And where did I get my training from? The Trinity College in Indiana. I went to become a certified natural health professional, and Nancy Retzloff here in the Milwaukee area is the Reiki master that gave me my level 1 and level 2 attunements. Other people in the community who are shamans have helped me with the guided visualization process. And
I have a question. Could you define for the listening audience what a Reiki healer is, and what does the term shamanist mean?
Okay. I am the great-granddaughter of Mariah Page Bolton from Greenville, Mississippi, who was the healer in that community when blacks weren't allowed, as my grandfather's mother, when blacks weren't allowed to go to hospitals. So I get it from the educational side and from her psychic energy that she has loaned me through genetics. But the Reiki healing happens to be an energy work. It's like massaging the inner spirit, and it's a matter of adjusting the chakras so that they are rolling in the right direction. Shamans are, you asked me what shamans were. These are people who are attuned with both worlds and are able to get information.
Meaning the underworld and the seen world? Can you define that for the listening audience? For the benefit of those who are not dealing with the 80% of the unconscious mind.
This visible world and the invisible world, or the spirit world and the physical world.
And Sister Fakari, would you not say that unseen world would be the subconscious mind that is underwater?
It's a little bit more expansive than that. It's being able to communicate with those who are physically in this world and those who have transferred to the other side or to the other world.
Now, I had a question, Sister Bakari. You mentioned something that I think the listening audience definitely need to know about, and it's something that they're going to have to get in touch with, and that's their chakras and attuning and aligning those chakras. Can you name those chakras for the listening audience so they can get a visualization of what we're talking about?
Well, there is there's the root chakra, which is in the – see, I don't have my book with me to show the exact areas that they're in. But they go from the bottom to the top, landing with the crown chakra.
And that's the indigo. That the crown would be the indigo chakra?
Mm-hmm. And then the red
chakra. Is there anyone that's higher than the other one? Is it the farther you go up the ladder? Is that the more spiritual level at the top?
Well, each one has its own, you know, it's like fine-tuned machinery. Not one is higher or better than the other. They all have to be working in order for the body to be operating at its best.
Very good. And Sister Bakari, for the benefit of those Christian listeners out there, we get a lot of Christian listeners who are trying to cross over and trying to come out of the slumber of being dead and asleep, and they're waking up. So for the benefit of those Christians out there, for Reiki healing, if they wanted to, you know, compare it to something in the church, would it be more like laying down of hands rather than actually you don't have to touch the person because you can send energy waves through the airways? And it's the same thing that Jesus once did when one of the actual soldiers came to him and told him that, Jesus, you need not go to where my daughter is. If you can just send the word, I know that your word would heal them. That was the first act in my recollection where Jesus actually performed Reiki healing. When you say
Reiki goes much further back than that.
I'm not trying to date it. What I'm trying to do is give a comparison for the listening audience, because terminology they may not have, but they may have an understanding where it's comparable, because now Reiki is being introduced to the Christian churches, and some of them are practicing it, but some are not, you know.
It's basically laying on of the hands, and it's transferring energy through the hands into the inner spirit of the other person's body. And
what do you engage in at the level one for the listening audience benefit if they were
level one interested? Level one is basically the type of attunement that you get in training, and the level one training is the initial attunement that you get that get put in your hands, because it's from the Japanese system. And so the masters are trained to be able to attune the energy in your hands so that it will be more readily available when you start disseminating that energy over an area that might be clogged. It simply unclogs areas that are stuck, that are clogged up in your spiritual
system. So when you say stuck, what do you mean stuck? You mean that there may be,
for instance, if you have
arthritis not moving. Mm-hmm.
If you have arthritis, for example, then that speaks to some emotional stuff that you've gotten involved in over time, and it has worn a particular area that you have the arthritis in. It has been worn down. And so then that Reiki energy either warms it up or stimulates it to the point where it breaks up that calcification that has formed in that part of the body.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're saying that it gives it a clearance so that it clears that area to keep it flowing, because chi and chakras have to keep flowing in order for the energy to be able to travel. I was saying that because I took the Reiki 1 level, and I found that you have to exercise that. Once you learn it, you really have to practice and use it, because over time it becomes stalemate if you're not using it. And I found a lot of people in the Christian churches are now asking, how do I get this gift and where do I go to learn it? And there's very few places in the Christian setting other than when you connect with the New Age community. And they readily are doing that in the Unity churches. And I had connected with Unity churches, and they readily are utilizing Reiki along with reflexology and other things. Can you tell us a little bit about, so once you become a master Reiki healer,
I'm not
what
a master.
Are some of the things
I'm just on the level two,
mm-hmm.
which allows you to do absentee healing.
Okay.
With Reiki energy.
Okay.
Which means the person
is there any other new? Is there another term for that? Because I have met shamans who did the energy transference, and they didn't call it Reiki, but they literally talked about touch therapy and frequency energy, working with clearing the fields and sending energy. Like some of the shamans were working with the Bach essence. They would take these tinctures and they would add the energy to them, and they would send the essence of the flowers. Are you able to tell us anything about that and how that energy can be sent across the airwaves?
That's not in my scope of practice.
Mm-hmm. Now,
because that's very different than Reiki. That's different than Reiki.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you say you're at the level of doing absentee.
Level two is being able to send that healing energy through the hands once again across distances where a person who would be ready to receive it, and you already know which part of the body you're trying to unclog, and it's sending it across distances to break up that clogged spot or the impasse to keep the...
So what you're telling the audience is that even though Reiki 1, there's in between before you get to become a master. What levels are in between before you become the master?
There's 1, 2, they have invented 3, and then you can take the master's level.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And each stage gives you greater insight, greater energy to use in different ways.
Now, are some people vibrating higher at a higher frequency level than others who have more of a greater capability of being an avatar?
I wouldn't say that. We all have gifts. And all our gifts, if we work with those gifts, all our gifts will vibrate at the level it's supposed to for whatever it's supposed to be at the time.
Mm-hmm. So there's not people on earth that are highly vibrating much more at a high frequency that has this ability to walk in a room and change energy levels. So those type of people don't really exist.
Everybody that walks in a room changes energy. If you have a room full of people and they might be talking about something, one person walks in and boom, you can feel the difference in the whole atmosphere when that person walks through the room. So everybody has
to... Station identification, I want you to keep that thought right there. We got to pay some bills. Sister Takari will be right back in the air. Keep that thought, Sister Takari, and I'm going to go to station identification. Audience, if you're out there, please tune in to our show. Call in and also come in and have a discussion. Thank you so much. We're going to station identification.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some common thief. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out this joint. I'll be sure. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
And listening audience, we have a guest in the audience today speaking. Her name is Sister Takari, and she is from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She is a level 2 Reiki healer. She's going to be talking with us about visualization today and the various different levels of Reiki healing. I'd like to also put out there in the atmosphere that the Namaste is having a Reiki healing 1 session located out in LaPorte, Indiana, and that is going to be Friday the 13th from 6 to 7. That is a free session that they're offering the community in their effort to more inform the community about Reiki healing. For those of you who would like to go and be a part of that organization, please do. And if you do go, make sure that you mentioned Carolyn's name. She was on our show. She was the one that told us about this event, and it is free. And I hope you do attend. Once again, our number for the listening audience is 646-478-0270. And we are talking about sending frequency across the airways, something that I have been doing for many, many years now. I worked in a hospital as an energy healer and worked with the chaplains there, and I was so interested in the energy healing and was not knowledgeable about the terminology of Reiki until about maybe 10 years ago. My brother is a master energy healer, and most of you know Jamel Harvey that comes out of Jacksonville, Florida. He is a naturopathic reflexology and iridology specialist, and he, too, has gained most of his knowledge from some of our ancestors that have gone on and shamans that took him under their belt and trained him. What our guest is talking about is some very, very high-level training here. She's talking about you going into training for long lengths of time with specialists. This is not something you can do overnight. It comes with practice. However, it is a very valuable skill to have. I'm going to bring her right back on, and she can continue where she left out. Sister Takari?
Okay. I'm not sure where I left off at, but I'd like to share an experience that was really, really powerful. A good friend of mine was traveling back to Milwaukee from visiting her relatives in Atlanta and was struck by a semi. And so Flight for Life had to take her to the nearest hospital, which was right outside of Indiana. What's the next state? What's the next state outside
of Indiana? You mean Illinois?
South of Indiana.
I have no idea who you're referring to.
Oh, okay.
That really doesn't matter. Just, you know, because they just...
And
they just
so what happened was they took her to the nearest hospital, and she stayed there for 3 months. She had all kinds of serious injuries. Then Flight for Life brought her, when she was stable enough, they did several surgeries, and when she was stable enough, they brought her back to Milwaukee to Frederick Hospital here, where she stayed another 3 months. After she left there after a few surgeries, they put her in the Mequon Care Center for rehabilitation. Again, she stayed 3 months there. So when she got home, she asked, well, what can you do for me? I know you do that Reiki stuff with your hands. And I don't know about that because you know I'm a Christian. But I'm just going to pray for God to help your hands to do whatever it is you do with your hands, because I really need, they told me I won't be able to walk without a walker, and you know I can't do that. So every other day I would go and do Reiki on her knees, her ankles, and her feet. And she would say she would feel better. But one particular day, after about 2 weeks, that energy block exploded. And it was so powerful, the energy was so powerful, it knocked her backwards and it knocked me backwards. So today, that's been, what, 10 years or so ago? Today, you never know, she was in a car accident. She doesn't have to use a walker. She doesn't have to use a cane or any of that. But see, that's that Reiki breaking up, that crystallization that comes from that trauma.
Testimony.
Pardon me?
And does that happen with you, Sister Picari, and many of your other patients, or was that an unusual situation with her?
Well, you know, hers was more intense because of all the trauma. Now, see, she'd been out of her home for what? Almost a year. 3 months mm-hmm. short of a year. And that's how bad the accident was. And that's why when it finally broke after the constant breaking away at it, it was so powerful that it knocked both of us backwards.
Now, Sister Picari, does one have to believe in this concept in order for it to work, or can this be performed on someone who has no knowledge and has no awareness of the concept?
They don't have to have an awareness of the concept. And like I told you, her thing was, I don't know about that. But okay, I'll try anything.
Well, see, she
and
was
so that's like
religious.
A doubter right there.
Right. Because I have seen people that work on other patients that don't even know they're being worked on, such as the Maharishi group who prays and sends frequency out at the same time to various different continents of the earth, and things change. Let me say this to the African-Americans out there who primarily have, you know, written this show for, if you could just think of the music waves, and if you are sitting in a congregation hall and the music starts to play, or if you're in a club somewhere and the drums start to play, what you're experiencing is frequency waves, and there is some indication that a frequency has changed because of the vibrations. I want to alert you to the understanding that there is frequency healing through music therapy, and that is a concept that they're using. And Dr. Loyola Africa definitely prescribes to it. He has it right here on page 192 in his book. He says, blacks hear and sing uniquely based upon an accurate music, and melanin causes a higher absorption of sound overtones. The scales start on the high note and end on the low note. This is primarily due to the anatomy of the body. For instance, he says, the breathing makes a higher sound coming to the body and a low sound leaving the body. African scales follow the low of the body breathing. So let us stop and take our breath and our vital signs. Meditation is definitely the same thing as breathing out, people, taking in oxygen and releasing and exhaling the same way you receive energy and frequency. What we're talking about is metaphysics here, listening audience. Jesus could not have performed any miracles had he not gone over into Africa to learn the metaphysics ways. Even Moses had to spend over 40 years in the institutions in Egypt. So why are the Christians so afraid of using modalities such as metaphysics, visualization, music therapy, and Reiki healing? We have got to understand this is our customs, our tradition, and we need to revert back to using these things We need to find people like Sister Bakari and invite them in to sit on the board of the hospitals, to be in on the training in every occupational therapy aspect, because drumming now is being used in the hospital with patients, another form of frequency. And once you find yourself getting sick, you can always calibrate your frequencies, and it will denote the lower the frequency levels, the more apt you are to become ill, with your T cells level not able to fight off disease. Now, I want you to understand, Christians, because I know you're going to listen to the show, and you're going to say, I don't believe in the Reiki. I don't think there's anything but laying on hands. As the sister just said to you earlier, this is a form of laying on of hands. I have seen Christians write about this topic, and they've now embraced it in the Christian church. And let me also say this for the record. I really don't care if the Christians accept it or not. Christians are not the ones that substantiate anything in this society. There are many paths to get to God, and this is just one of them, and Christianity is also one of them. We're putting it out there to educate you. The more you have to work with, the better you can make a decision, and you have options in this world. Sister Tabari, I'd like for you to come back and give us some more information.
When you talk about Christianity, Christians follow the walk of Christ, and Christ very much did all kinds of distant healing, laying on of the hands, and metaphysical kinds of healing and adjustments. And I always remember the military guy whose servant had become ill, and when he went and asked Jesus to please heal his
manservant.
That's
what we said earlier. That's the same thing I said. That was the first act of Reiki healing. It was a Caesarian soldier, because his daughter was sick. Remember in the scriptures? He asked Jesus to perform Reiki healing, because he said, you don't even have to go. Just send your word. And you know, listening audience, we're not trying to sensitize things for you, because we know there was only 20% of Christians that willingly followed Christ during the Roman Empire. And the remaining portion of those people during the Nicene Council was pretty much battered, and they were tortured into becoming Christians. And we also know that Christian is the newest religion on the scene. And there are religions that predated Christianity, and they're now finding that there are the 13 crucified saviors that literally died in the same manner that Jesus died, were born on December 25th, was a child prodigy at the age of 12, was baptized at 30, and had his same death, resurrection at the same time, and also worship on Sunday, one of the 13 crucified saviors. So we're now asking, where is all this coming from? How could there be 13 people with the same identical history and background as Jesus? You've got such young Christians that don't know any better, and they're surprised when they find out that there was something that predated Jesus. You have to understand that Jesus tells you in his own words, I came here from Hebrew. But at the same time, he is our eldest brother. He is one of the prophets that we are to acknowledge, and we're supposed to respect all the prophets. Once we can come to the table on that, we can stop ridiculing all of our Muslim brothers. We can stop ridiculing those that are New Thought, and we can come together collectively to know that there's many paths to get to God. And I'm going to call my speaker back again, and I have some questions, Sister Bakari, on visualization. I know that when people practice Reiki, they use a number of modalities. Can you talk a little bit about the other modalities that are used during a treatment session?
Well, it all depends on the practitioner as to what they do or don't do. I'll speak to the kinds of things that I have found helpful to others. I'm very much concentrated on maternal child wellness. And I had a guy who was a mechanic that worked on my car because I used to buy them hoopties. And he was real sad one day. And I said, well, what's the matter? He said, well, the wife and I we're trying to have the baby, and she won't stop bleeding, and the doctor says it's too early in her pregnancy for them to do any intervention. So they said we should just go ahead and lose the baby and start all over again. I said, well, would you like for me to come and talk to her? And he said, anything, anything. So I went and I worked with her with guided visualization for about 2 hours and 15 minutes. That pregnancy
resulted. What is
resulted,
guided visualization? Can you tell the listening audience so they can?
Yeah, I will after
kind of
get with the story.
Okay.
That child is now 14 years old that she was losing. What I did with her was had her to just sit and concentrate on what was going on. And then I had her to go back in her memory, her earliest memory of issues and problems until we confronted what was actually going on with her and the reason why that cellular memory had subconsciously brought up this blockage that caused her to hemorrhage. And as soon as we were able to confront that and helping her to speak to that particular issue until she was comfortable enough to be at peace with it, then the bleeding stopped.
That is fantastic. And one does not have to believe fully in the persuasion of what we're saying this evening, ladies and gentlemen. You just have to understand that when you've exhausted all modalities of allopathic medicine, it might be time to look at non-drug therapies. Dr. Loyola Africa puts it so plainly. He says here on page 193, he says, gems or crystals? Crystals are holistic living forces. Crystals are gems, and they have been used for the treatment of disease states. They are also used to stimulate mental and spiritual energies in addition, and they have been used in religion, ceremonies, and everybody wears these crystals in religion ceremonies as well. Crystals can be worn on the garment and on the finger. Now, I want to say something. There is a lady, I don't have her name in front of me, she actually makes this jewelry that actually houses within it various different crystals and gems, and it stops the radiation that comes from the cell phones and from our microwave ovens, and it protects us from the energies that we're being inundated with all of the radiation. And no one seems to care now that we're dealing with all this technology, but it has some effect on the mental state, and they've already discovered that. So now jewelry is coming out with this energy to counteract all of the frequencies that are coming off of the radiation and that's being thrown off from the computers as well. Now, the reason why I brought that up is because one thing that we have had for a long time, is in the exception of us having been endowed as a Nubian, is our melanin. Our melanin is more than a byproduct. Our melanin is not just something to give us skin tone. It has the ability to produce T cells in our body and to give us this immunization. And if you don't believe me, when they did the study on the young boys that were found dead, the majority of the boys that they tested for to see if there was any melanin left in their body, and they had extracted all the melanin out of the body. And for what reason, I have no idea, but melatonin is a very important product that people are now taking as a form of a tablet for sleep and for other conditions to build up immune deficiency. So I'm getting at looking at what is going on mentally with the African-Americans that we're now having anxiety attacks, clinical depression. I think what is going on, in my hypothesis, is coming through the middle passes, there has never been a debriefing for our people, and some of them are set on edge, and they've reached the boiling point. And just like anybody who's pushed to the edge, eventually neurological problems will set in.
Well,
but
you
I
know,
found
there is such a thing as post-traumatic stress syndrome. And Dr.
Yeah, that's
Joy,
what I'm getting at, that post-traumatic stress syndrome. And we're going to ask you to talk on that in a minute, because I treat children in school that are early intervention, and they come with post-traumatic stress syndrome. And people are treating it like ADHD and trying to give them Ritalin for post-traumatic stress syndrome. And nobody realizes that our community needs to be addressed, and they need to have some form of therapy, not just, we need a behavior therapy, not just modalities with drugs. And everyone's trying to treat these things with drugs. And I'm going to ask you to help us out here, Sister Bakari, and I know you talked about children, and I'm a child development behavior therapist that work with early intervention, and I get children with all kinds of neurological disorders, and when we try to work with them, we find that it's the lap time, the holding the child, to reassuring it. So African Americans are now going to sessions where they're getting debriefing segments to learn how to deal with the stresses that they're going through, which are astronomical with the losses of economic status in the family. So can you speak on that, about this problem that African Americans are going through with mental illness and depression?
Well, I think that someone who has captured that and put it in a book is Dr. Joy McGrew. Used to be Joy Geary. And she has a book entitled Recovering from Post-Traumatic Stress Syndrome. She takes it all the way back to the experience of the Middle Passage and the 400 years of slavery. You see, we have cellular memories of those times that are passed down genetically.
Absolutely.
And those things do come up. She has a whole remedy recipe in her book on how we begin to address and heal from that. And some of the things that she talks about is the interrelationship of just us interacting with one another in healthy ways, in terms of having a support system, a mother figure if your mom is not there, a father figure if your dad's not there, or if that's not those relationships are not healthy, as we begin to process those cellular memories that unconsciously cause issues. Now, when I do guided visualization, that's where we go back to. We go back to those unconscious cellular memories and bring them forward and address them so that they are then dissolved or redirected, and so they don't have to cause blockages anymore.
Now, Sister Bakari, when you talked about your specialty being with children, is that at the early childhood level, from birth to 3, or what age does that start with?
In the womb. I've been gifted with working with people while they're pregnant. So
okay,
it's
so you do from birth,
maternal child.
In the womb, maternity, okay. Because the reason why I ask is because there is my area is early childhood development, and there is a program that the government has created called the Early Intervention Prevention, and we as specialists work with a team of occupational therapists and physical therapists and sound and music therapists now, and sometimes drummers, and we actually are going in as diagnosticians trying to come up with programs that would work with these children. We have autism children. And what we found is that the therapeutic has extended itself over to the family modalities of getting them in therapy as well. And I have found that the average schools that are functioning well are the ones that have a large support system where there is plenty of modalities for the parent to be engaging in the school and a therapeutic process is going on. What teachers are mainly doing now is not teaching. They are clinically offering modalities in a classroom to sedate the children because children are coming with clinical problems more so than academic problems. And if you have any background in social work or skills in parenting education, then your whole curriculum starts to work with the whole family. And there's a couple of schools in Atlanta that are now working with the whole family that they mandate that the mother has somebody from the family. It could be a surrogate advocate, which is a person that fills in for the place of the parent. They now have training called surrogate advocates. So if you work in special ed and you can't attend the workshop, they will send an surrogate advocate in to make decisions on your behalf. And they're trained primarily to work as an advocate on behalf of that child. And what I'm beginning to see is that these schools are being successful because they're limiting the number of children they have. Everybody goes through a debriefing, even the parent and the child, because just working on that child is not going to heal the problem. It's systemic. It's in the family. And that's why this show was created, to offer up education for the parent to learn to read and for them to offer literature in the family and then engage the child. We are our consumer science and family education. That's what my major was, working in the hospital in crisis situation with families. And the early childhood is just one aspect, but you have to work with families, and no one's working with families these days, and you have so much going on systemically in the family that they have forgotten if you heal the families, then the work you're doing in the classroom will be a whiz, but you can't spend time putting out fires, dealing with clinical issues of children crying out, children going through spells of episodes, and there's so many episodal problems where the counselor's coming into the class now to help assist that child while you go through the lessons. And it's so bad that you can't conduct teaching. And I had for one said that we've got to revisit this thing and say, what do we need more, clinical modalities of working with these families, or do we need to try to teach them basic skill and incorporate the majority of the lesson in helping them to cope? There's no coping skills, and some children's level are too low. And the ones that have the capability that make it out, you have to teach them these coping skills. And I think, Sister Picari, most people think that the new age modalities are for Caucasians and that blacks don't do this. And this is not a black thing, that's a white thing. And when you speak of these modalities like transcendental meditation, which is all over Iowa, and those schools are prospering because they know the benefit of allowing them to tap into the 80% of the subconscious mind, that while they're there, they are working problems out and mastering things, so when they come back to consciousness, they're stronger academically. So those schools are prospering, and they're incorporating meditation on a daily basis, and now yoga. But for the average African-American, we don't have a clue that it begins with us, and if we can heal us, the rest of and give us a self-esteem, the rest of the academics will fall in place. I certainly believe that. And what are you seeing in the families, and what kind of problems are you running into?
I, as a metaphysical minister, I really, really am convinced that we don't do the spiritual piece. That has nothing to do with religion. It's that cellular memory, like I said before, that is tied to breathing and getting, pulling those unconscious memories to the conscious level so they can be dealt with.
Mm-hmm. So at the root of any type of physical problem, there is a systemic mental condition that hasn't been addressed.
It's a spiritual piece.
Mm-hmm. And out of every physical condition comes a a spiritual deficit, I would say. And when talking with the person after going into getting therapy with them, you would see them come out and they will talk about being disconnected, not having friends, not feeling a part of the family. And the problem I've seen the most in the community is disconnectedness. And that's when I begin to see the anxiety set in, the mental health problems. People are alone. They are so alone that they are to the point of becoming suicidal because they don't feel connected to a greater picture, a greater cause.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with also not having an ancestral connection.
Mm-hmm.
We bury people.
I believe
it. We bury people and we say, okay, that's it. But I am constantly recognizing my grandfather who taught me Black history, who taught me the family heritage, and as well as his mother, who I never met, but just heard about her. And when I sit down and I really concentrate, then those words will come up to my conscious level.
Absolutely.
And so we see that. We've been deprogrammed to see that and reprogrammed to see that connection as something that's evil and wicked. While
and
the
you know,
other
Sister
people,
Bakari, I'm
while
to
the
ask
other
you
people
a personal
continue,
question.
Huh?
Okay, go ahead.
While other people continue to recognize that. We got Hillary Clinton, who was recently in the White House. And she said every morning she would get up and go in the room where Eleanor Roosevelt's picture was and talk to her.
Uh-huh.
And that's okay. But when we talk
uh-huh.
about talking to
yeah,
big mama,
it's okay. And
then,
you know
then
why
that's
it's
not okay.
Okay. And you know why? You know why it's okay? Because this show was created. I have been a minister for over 20 years and went back and had to find my culture and heritage and be re-educated and sit up under Chief Metahochi for 2 years to find my African spirituality. I announced on this show that I have been trained as a priestess and I do commune with the ancestors and raise them high and let them know that whatever we do on this show, we will acknowledge the ancestors. And right now I want to pay homage to those ancestors and to give them homage and give them entrance into this segment of the show because ancestral communion is very important with Africans, and I've been knowing it since I was about 2 years old. After my mother made her transition, they introduced my mother to me as a dead person, and I said, if I am to keep her alive, I must make her an ancestor. I must give her light. I must be able to commune with her. So I became an identifier of the ancestor at an early age. So when my sisters taught me about spirituality, it wasn't something new or scary. And I understood that it is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead. And now you got people talking about, oh, that's High John the Conqueror. Oh, that's witchcraft. That's voodoo. That's your heritage. That's your culture. And anybody that doesn't pay homage to their ancestors, they're the only person that has a vested interest in you and are fighting. They're fighting for you so that you could have an interest in here, and you're the sole reason why they came to make a way for you. And you got ignorance going on all around us, Sister Bakari. In the show, when we mention the name ancestors and we pay homage to the ancestors and pour libation to the east and to the west, you got some Christians coming, sitting in my audience, thinking they're going to frazzle me, but I tell them, I'm from the ancestors. I'm an ancestral child. My very name, Omiinka, means water surrounds me, meaning the ancestors have carried me. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if Christianity will take my ancestors away, then it's a counterfeit religion. Your religion is born out of your customs and tradition. And if you are African, the only question to ask today is to be or not to be African. And once you know who you are and your customs, you can determine what your religion will be. When you worship in a counterfeit religion, an alien religion, it will eventually not serve you well. The ancestors are just waiting for us to acknowledge them. They've been waiting. Wouldn't you say so, Sister Picard?
Well, yeah. I just came from the Color of Child Welfare Summit that they had here in Milwaukee earlier because of the disproportionate number of African-American kids who are in the foster care system. And they paid this man big money, Lee Moonwah, to come in.
Uh-huh. I've heard about him.
And what he said was, you see what I have over there? You see all the obituaries? I don't go anywhere without my ancestors. He said, and people, they'll say, oh, he's talking to dead people. Don't you dare call my ancestors dead. They live.
That's right.
And most of that audience was, oh, they kind of looked. But he's Asian, so what they're going to do, they're going to accept it from him.
That's right. But they won't accept it from one of their own because, see, you practicing witchcraft, you into voodoo. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that this thing called possession in the church every Sunday morning when they get enslaved in the spirit, that's a part of Africans' traditional customs. We need to put that in its proper perspective and realize that you're throwing yourself into a trance so that you can be possessed and get a word from your higher self. And God does live within the midst of you, so you are speaking to yourself when you tell yourself the prayers that it's going to carry out. Yeah, and we've been teaching, and I'm telling you, Sister Bakari, we've been admonishing people to understand. Now is the time to wake up. We're coming up on our half an hour, ladies and gentlemen, coming to the end of the show, and hopefully we will be able to continue the discussion with some of our other guests in reference to this topic of dealing with ancestorship. And Sister Bakari, I'd like to thank you for coming by this evening and sharing with us. I'd like to thank you for the information that you've given the audience. And I want to say, listening audience, don't think that it's strange for you to collect all the obituaries of your loved ones. I have every one of mine, and they sit on my altar. And I believe that if it wasn't for those ancestors, my life would not have been written the same way. I am a privileged person because of my ancestors, and I do believe they're the sum total of why I came. They made a way for me, and they have opened the doors and showed me how to reconnect with the universe, and that is something more special than I could have ever gotten anywhere in anyone else's religion. I went on sabbatical to find my culture and my roots. I put religion on hold for a minute to find spirituality, and I'm suggesting for me, not you, that I continue on this path until I become endowed with spirituality and knowledge so that I can use the gifts that were bestowed upon me and I'm not sitting in someone's church waiting my turn, waiting my turn. We've all been called to be evangelists, and we've all been given gifts by virtue of the melanin that vibrates in us. We all are healers. We just don't know it. We all can lay hands. Let somebody in your family die. Let somebody in your family be pronounced dead. You will call them back. I know it because I called my brother back. My sister and I stood flat-footed in a hospital, and we joined hands, and they had already pronounced him dead. We spoke to the life forces, and we joined hands and called my dear brother back. He lived 5 years to go into the hospital to testify. Am I a healer? Am I a healer? I allow God to use me. I'm a channel. And you, too, are a healer. You just don't practice it. But you have to begin to start to understand ancestors bestowed that to you. They gave you that ritual. They gave you those skills. They gave you those modalities. Now you have to use them. You have to call on them each day. Acknowledge them. Go in the room and talk to your mother. She wants to hear from you. Go in the room and talk to your father. Set up an ancestral table in your house where you acknowledge them and pay homage to them. Don't think us to be bush people because we're talking about something like this. You're so civilized now because you got church, you got education. Don't let your stiff-necked knowledge cause you not to find the best thing that could happen to you is yourself. We're connected. We're divinely connected. There's no way that they're not us and we're not them. God is us and we are God. We are God's little children and we have overcome them. It's time that we start realizing that we don't have to knock down the doors to get into the hospitals, that we can use our own modalities of visualization, Reiki healing, and just like the word says, we can send the word to heal them. We have that frequency, ladies and gentlemen. Just as I'm going to lay my hands on this computer here and sending energy to my sister, who's right now fighting for her life. We've already claimed it, and we decreed that thing last night, and we know that those frequency levels are already penetrating. And as you begin to, at the sound of my voice, knowing that we have a powerful, powerful young lady in the audience today, you ought to tap in, and you ought to be able to get a chance to feel what it's like to be free and to know that you didn't have to go outside of yourself to find a solution. The solution is within yourself. You've had it all along. You've been endowed with the solution all the long. Whenever there is a problem, stop and meditate. Count breaths. Take deep breaths, breathing in and breathing out, and going within yourself and allowing yourself to be overtaken in the spirit. And allow that spirit to speak to you. Spirit is real, people. I don't know if religion is real or not, because now they're finding out all kinds of crazy things about what they've been teaching us. But I do know this much. Spirit is real and is vibrating, and I see it moving on the airwaves and on the terminal. And I know this day that everyone at the sound of my voice will go away, and they're going to have a mind to want to study themselves and to study their ancestorship. That's right. We paid homage to the ancestors, and they're going to want to know who initiated you, who initiated you, who endowed you with knowledge. Because the uninitiated has no business speaking until he's been initiated. And I want to say to you, listening audience, go and find somewhere that you can sit up under someone and be initiated and learn the real truth. And I'm not talking about being tied to a religion. I'm talking about learning about your spiritual black consciousness, your black self, learning who you are and what capabilities you have, and to know that we are all healers, and we've all been called to be evangelists. For those listening Christians out there, we have all been called to be evangelists. And what knowledge we learn, it wasn't in a book. The Bible said, they need not teach you. I will teach you. And let the Holy Spirit teach you. Let him come through you and minister to you today. Let him minister to you. I've had the training as an evangelist, and I can marry, bury, and baptize. And I know that that's a good thing, but it's not a profession where I think I want to do that for a living. I figure that if this is a gift that was given to me, well, freely given, I have to freely give it out. So I come here today to freely give of myself, and if there is any gain to be had, I will give all acknowledgement to my higher self. If I should advance, I give praise to my own re, and that is your head. We'd like to thank our guest today. Thank you so much, Sister Takari. And hopefully you'll come back and visit us again. And I want to say that we're on our way to Canaan land. And for those listening people out there who might have missed our show today, you missed a great show. But hopefully you can come back tomorrow.
I'm on my way.
Sister Takari, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate that help you gave us today. And that's possible, Sister Takari. Because anytime you want to come on the show, you're welcome.
Okay, thank you.
Don't you hinder me. If you don't go, if you don't want this teaching, don't you hinder me. Because we're going to invite all of those specialists on to help us. And we're going to find all of those different people who are endowed with knowledge. But don't hinder us, because we're on our way. We're opening up the airways so that our people can learn and have power. Because we know knowledge is power. Say that with me. Knowledge is power. The ancestors are pleased today. They are pleased today to know that their names have been called.
I'm on my way. I keep rising and falling, but I'm on my way.
To all those listeners out there, we'd like to thank you this evening for staying with us during the whole segment. And our guest was Sister Picari coming from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'd like to send a shout-out to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Teju Olaboni, we're looking for you, young man. We'd like for you to come on and support us in what we're doing here for Project 2019. Sister Picari, you've been a blessing. You've been an added addition to our organization here. Project 2019, Closing the Gap of Disparity, Closing the Gap of Illiteracy and of Ignorance, and bringing about knowledge, because we know knowledge is power. And for Harambe, Brother Amon, we'd like to say thank you, and thank you for supporting us and giving us encouragement, and we send blessings out your way. And we'd like to also say tomorrow we will have a guest with us that will be talking about AIDS and basically the treatment and educational support surrounding AIDS. Please do tune in and bring your questions, and also support the organization by calling in and being a part of the show. We'd like to also say thank you very much for carrying the weight today and staying on the air, and we would like to give you your world back. Thank you for allowing us to have your airwaves, and once again, this is Project 2019 in support of Care to Read. Read a book to your children today. As you know, our feature book today was Dr. Lyola Africa's book, and we talked a little bit about what's in this book. Go out and get that book. Dr. Lyola is a good friend of mine, excellent teacher. We would love for you to support him in purchasing that book. Once again, for those teachers out there, I hope you're still following us. You can go out on the website on JustStart, and there's materials there for educators who are working with early intervention and working with early literacy. Once again, thank you so much, and have a blessed evening. And do have a great day. Odabo.